the vast cosmos, interstellar thrifty travel, these are the voyages of the one starship, Destitute. Its mission, for as long as the money holds, is to explore strange, frugal ways and seek out anything before going broke. To cheaply go where many richer starships have gone before.
Captain's log, star log 2231.9. Captain Ezekiel Deferred reporting. After the swelling tongue incident on Streptococcus 4, in which the Federation ships were licked away to the Delta Minor Quadrant, I've been reassigned as commanding officer aboard the USS Destitute. Before I could learn of the Destitute's unique procedures, we were instructed by Star Command to investigate an anomaly on the outer reaches of the Vancuco Galaxy.
Captain on bridge!
As you were. I'm Captain Deferred. What's our current status?
Helmsman bankrupt, Captain. Approaching the anomaly, sir.
Time until arrival?
43 seconds, sir.
Number one?
Down the hall and to the left, Captain.
My first officer.
First officer plebeian, Captain. Sensors indicate a solar vortex.
A solar vortex? Are you sure?
Sure as Shinola, Captain. But this solar vortex appears to have artificial and not natural origins.
Assessment.
As we approach, we'll experience blinding lights and unbearable heat, increasing exponentially.
Captain Deferred, we're coming to the edge of the solar vortex now.
Steady as she goes, Helmsman bankrupt. Stand by to engage FTL.
We have no FTL drive, Captain.
No FTL?
All FTL capability on the Destitute has been curtailed due to cutbacks, sir.
Cutbacks? Bridge to engineering.
This is engineering. Commander Kelly here.
This is Captain Deferred. What's the problem with our FTL?
Oh, no problem, Captain. Our FTL drive has been curtailed
due to cutbacks, yes. Have we got standard control?
No, of course not, Captain.
Then how the devil do we move around?
Soda, Captain.
Soda?
We open a can of soda out the back to use as propulsion.
Okay.
Captain Deferred, the Destitute's core temperature is rising steadily, and the Gleasons are here.
The what?
Oh, hi, I'm Ted. This is my wife, Nancy.
Hi there. These are our kids, Ashley and Ted Jr.
Who? What?
Captain, the Gleasons are our Airbnb guests.
Airbnb?
We regularly take in guests to help pay for our missions.
Oh, we're very excited.
We've never been on a Star Command ship before, have we, Ted?
Well, not legally. Oh, I'm just kidding.
Hey, what does this thing
do? Don't touch that.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't work anyway.
Can I try flying the ship, Mom?
Sure you can, sweetie.
No, you cannot, sweetie. Plebeian, get the Gleasons out of here.
So, when's breakfast? Oh, hey, it's kind of hot in here. Can we turn the air conditioning up
on that? I said get them out.
Captain, a ship has appeared in the vicinity.
Shields up.
We have no shields, sir,
due to cutbacks, of course. Can we open a comm frequency, or has that been cut back as well?
Frequency open, sir.
This is Captain Ezekiel Deferred of the USS Destitute. Please identify yourself.
USS Desticrap. Please identify yourself.
Please repeat.
Please repeat. This is Captain Ezekiel Poopy Pants.
My word. It's the Sarcastians.
Who?
The Sarcastians, a race of beings that thrive on mocking others. Go to red alert.
We have a pink alert, sir.
Fine. Pink alert, then.
Fine. Pink alert, then.
Can someone please shut that off?
Can someone please shut that are...
We can't, Captain. They've locked us out.
Those disrespectful monsters.
Those disrespectful monsters.
Captain, I'm certain it's the Sarcastians who are responsible for creating the deadly solar vortex.
Thank you, plebeian. Be ready to fire particle cannons on my command.
Fire particle cannons on my command.
We have no particle cannons, Captain.
No particle cannons? Ace light beams? Do we have anything to shoot at them?
Do we have anything to shoot at them?
We have VHS tapes of Full House.
What?
What?
An ancient video medium of a subpar 1980s TV sitcom, sir.
The devil? All right. Fire Full House.
You got it, dude. A direct hit. No effect.
Wait. I'm getting a reading. It's laughter. They seem to be enjoying the sitcom, sir.
Those damn Olsen twins!
Captain, the Sarcastians have launched a shuttle. They're coming to jack our ship, sir.
Captain, we've got to retreat. Engineering, open a can of soda. Use a 2-liter bottle if you have
no,
to.
No, belay that order. Kelly, the Sarcastians are bringing a shuttle to the Destitute.
The Sarcastians, those disrespectful monsters.
I know. Kelly, listen carefully. Modify our standard engines to run on negative tonal inflection.
Captain, that's only a theory, but I can try.
I need you to do more than try.
I'm finished, Captain.
That was fast. Feed the frequency from the Sarcastian communication directly into the engines. I'm going to use the Sarcastian's mocking to fuel the ship.
That's brilliant. Captain.
Captain, temperature of the ship is becoming critical. The hull explode in a matter of seconds.
Kelly, I need the Destitute's power restored.
Just a few more adjustments, Catman.
Does anybody want a baked potato? Hot and ready.
Kelly, now would be a good time.
It worked, Captain.
It worked, Captain.
We've got a fully functioning sassy drive. All the power you want, including particle cannons.
All the power you want, including particle cannons.
Helmsman bankrupt. Fire cannons at the Sarcastian warship.
Fire cannons at the Sarcastian warship.
Firing cannons.
Firing cannons.
The Sarcastian ship is totally borked, sir. Temperature and gravity are returning to normal.
Captain's log. Star log 2235. Point break. Captain Ezekiel Deferred reporting. If not for the courage of the fearless crew, the USS Destitute would be...
Captain Deferred, do you have anything you'd like to donate for the bake sale?
Bake sale?
And I'm going to have to take your log computer. They need the pots for life
support. Oh, no. Set a course for the flea market quadrant of Desperaltis Red. We're going to sell our clothes.
No, Captain.
Hey, Zeke, where's the holodeck on this space hotel?
The Gleasons? What are you still doing here?
The log computer, Captain.
No, I'm not letting you take my
can
log
you let
computer.
Let the kids fly the ship.
Of course not.
Yay, we get to fly.
Let's go, my log computer.
Captain, be reasonable.
Yay, fly.
How will I introduce future episodes if I can't have my log computer?
And we'll take you back to that live news report in just a moment. But right now, I'd like to remind all of our listeners that WAIP is a listener-supported station. To help celebrate you and all of your charitable contributions to this station, we are hosting a week-long telethon next week. It will feature all your favorite radio personalities in special programs dedicated to our pledge drive. So support local programming with your pledge to WAIP. And now we take you back to that story about the Milwaukee Hop, our beloved streetcar, traveling backwards for no explainable reason.
And we're clear. Back on track. Great.
What the hell has been going on today, Christopher?
Sorry, Anita. Oliver, Tommy, and Amanda decided to take the hop into work today.
That's crazy. It doesn't come anywhere near us. Or anything.
Really. I know that, but the sweet, innocent interns didn't get the memo.
Well, we need to get going on the pledge drive, so where are they?
Tommy just got here. He'll be in just a second. Oliver texted me to say that he's almost here. No one knows where Amanda is.
Okay. How can we not know where she is? She got on the hop. It travels a total of 3 city blocks.
They think one may have gained sentience and jumped the tracks for Chicago.
You're kidding, right? Tell me you're kidding.
Sure, kidding. Tommy, Oliver, how was your trip?
That was pretty much the worst thing ever.
I don't know. It was kind of nice to be the only person on the streetcar.
It took 40 minutes to go three blocks. We got lapped by an old lady with a walker.
Yes, yes, we all love the hop. Now, the two of you need to start prepping the personalities for the telethon.
Oh, mournful Gene Lavender is on this list. Does he have to be?
Yes. No one knows why, but people like him.
What are y'all doing?
Anita and I need to meet with the president of our pledge drive, Kathleen Henderson.
Let's just all hope she's on the hop with Amanda.
Hi, folks. Are you looking for a fun way to get around Milwaukee without having to worry about that pesky carbon footprint? Is an Uber looking pretty pricey these days? Do you live or do business on Ogden Avenue, Jackson Street, North Milwaukee Street, or St. Paul Avenue? Then you should try the new Milwaukee streetcar, The Hop.
Sure, I could give it a shot, I guess. How much is the fare?
Free for our first year. After that, only $1.
That sounds terribly convenient. Can I take it to see my favorite paintings at the art museum?
You can take it part of the way. And yes, it is terribly convenient, especially if you need to get downtown to, and I will repeat this again, Ogden Avenue, Jackson Street, North Milwaukee Street, or St. Paul Avenue.
Well, okay. Say I need to get to the Milwaukee Hilton.
Yes, it definitely makes a stop directly
from the Upper
East
Side.
Well, that should work for the most part. If you can get to, or at least close to, St. Paul, we will just take it from there. For free, at least for a year. Then it's $1.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind.
The Hop. Are we going where you're going?
Probably not.
Craig Vance is back in the air chair. Look, we decided to call this program Sports Blast because I'm here to blast your ears with the truth. Today, I want to talk about the sport with the best pure athletes. That's right. We all know that I am talking about professional poker. You put those guys against the best in any sport and they'll compete. I'm telling you, LeBron James versus Phil Hellmuth, it's going to be Hellmuth every time. You know I'm right. The truth of the matter is, these are the best athletes around and they don't get the respect they deserve. Call me, tell me I'm wrong, but the numbers are on my side. After the break, we're going to talk to the best broadcaster in the business, Joe Buck. Stay tuned.
And Bailey, make sure things are in order for the luncheon. I will not have us disappoint our donors.
Yes, Miss Henderson.
Hello, Anita. Christopher. You've met my assistant, Bailey.
Yes, we have. Hello again, Bailey.
Bailey will be handling most of the communication this year. I'm here to make sure everything runs smoothly. Stan wants to make sure that we make enough money to pay your salaries this year. If we don't...
We find another way to raise the money?
No, Christopher. We shut down the station.
But we've made huge strides in listenership and cost cutting.
It's been months and you haven't been making any money. Bailey, how many new sponsors have they secured this month?
Zero, Miss Henderson.
Wait a second. We've been getting some new business.
The new business was coming in early on, but it hasn't been consistent.
And none of it really feels significant. It doesn't feel, I don't know, real?
Oh, it's real. Inferior Flicks is super real.
Sponsorship has really fallen off since Jennifer left.
Based on the numbers, everything has fallen off since Jennifer left. Bailey?
Yes, that's what the numbers say.
Hey!
You have a show hosted by a waffle aficionado. You fill an hour each week with the sound of a woman mumbling. And your best interviewer seems to be a magical hobo who appears from time to time. Did I miss anything, Bailey?
The mournful Gene Lavender?
It was rhetorical, Bailey. I was making a point. Anita, Christopher, you have me for 1 month. It's time to right this ship. If we don't...
We'll have to start finding new ships.
My name is Claude Topple.
Despite my desire to help others, I was born with a habit for making things worse. After a bizarre hammock incident, I was endowed with unreliable supernatural powers. I have vowed to change my worst ways to help Sanguine City and earn the respect of the woman I love. I am...
Listener, for the danger you present to the universe, you will be imprisoned for the rest of your natural existence.
What?
Another day, another worsening. The worsener has attracted the attention of Ialozg. I didn't name it, I'm just narrating it.
You're from where?
The Intergalactic Avenger League of Space Guardians, a legion of interstellar officers assigned to protect the universe.
A space cop. Cool.
I know, right? My name is Vanquish. I've been charged with apprehending the worsener and securing him in our incarceration facility.
Good. The more incarcerated, the better.
I also host a daily program on macrame.
Oh.
Ialozg was drawn here by a signal known on Earth as a Commodore 64. Not heard for decades, we came to investigate. The worsener will be held far from civilization, imprisoned indefinitely.
How long is indefinitely?
A very long time.
Vanquish unleashes a series of binding cables that wrap themselves around the worsener, securing his arms and legs.
I suggest you avoid struggling if you want to continue breathing. Those bonds are designed to counteract any defiance. The harder you resist, the stronger they become.
But Miss Vanquish, I'm not a threat. I'm a hero, a superhero, just like you. I want to help people.
You are a hazard to the innocent. You kill instead of save. You endanger instead of protect. You, worsener, make things worse.
I know, but I can do better.
I believe you, worsener. Hi, Vanquish. I'm Abe.
What are you doing with that handkerchief? Get that away. Ow! Ow! It's gonna leave a welt! We must leave. I am already running late. I have to pick up dinner before I go home. I will now take you to the final imprisonment.
No, you will not! I am the worsener, and things will always get worsener before they get betterer!
What are you doing? Worsener, stop before you! You are destroying your surroundings and putting lives in danger. You will cease or prepare to suffer the consequences.
Everyone, get out of the way! Worsener, bite down on this handkerchief!
Abraham pulls the worsener away from the crashing destruction. Before she can move, Vanquish is buried in concrete and debris.
No! No!
Thank you. It's quite a skill you have there.
Thank you, sir. Abraham Lincoln is my name, sir.
Are you named after the president?
No, I was named after my father, who was named after his father, named after his father, who was named after his father's barber. Barber Abrahamson Lincolnstein Jones.
You're pretty handy with that handkerchief, kid. Handkerchief, kid. Hey, how'd you like to use some of that hanky action to watch my back from time to time?
Far out! I'd like that very much, sir.
But the celebration is cut short. Out of the stirring rubble rises Vanquish. She brushes Abe and his handkerchief away like a speck of dust.
No! No! I could crush you like a Catheldean space bug. But my dedication to Ialos forbids me. Your detention awaits!
No! I hate detention. Rosemary, if Miss Vanquish takes me away, we'll never get married like we're supposed to.
I'll do my best to carry on.
All right. Because I care about you, if you want me to go with Miss Vanquish, just tell me, Rosemary.
Did you just call me Rosemary?
What a choice for Rosemary Potatoes. What would you do, dear listeners, in this unexpected, most difficult quandary?
Vanquish, the worsener is a threat, but he doesn't deserve to be imprisoned for the rest of his life.
You can't take the worsener because I love him.
Gasp.
This is surprising, Rosemary of Earth. You and the worsener must have a sincere connection. Perhaps he is redeemable. But I have my orders to your confinement, worsener!
No!
Vanquish entraps the worsener with a beam of light from her helmet. Then, summoning her tornado transport, Vanquish twists off into space, the worsener in tow.
You can't take me to the Guardian prison, Miss Vanquish!
There's nothing you can do to stop me.
But I'm the worsener. I'm always three steps behind you, and you always see me coming. That's how I win.
Don't touch that. Don't!
Using his worsening talent, the worsener reaches through the bubble of light and removes Vanquish's helmet, setting himself adrift in space.
No! We'll be watching you, worsener! No! No!
Hurtling helplessly in space, out of control, alone, how will the worsener get back to Earth?
Is there space, Uber?
Does Vanquish really host a macrame program?
Weekdays at 3. Check it out.
And what of the handkerchief kid?
Got the sniffles? I'm your man.
Find out in the next destructive episode of The Worsener.
Worsener, that's me, I'm the Worsener.
Every time.
Hello, and welcome to WAIP's The Awkward Stage, the game show for the socially inept and extremely introverted. I am your gregarious host, Ursula von Ursula. Let's meet our contestants. First up is Heather Vaughn. Hello, Heather.
Hi. Yeah, you're talking a little loud. Maybe you could just...
My pleasure, Heather. Why don't you tell us about yourself?
Well, Hi. My name is Heather, and I don't really know
That's
what to...
Fantastic.
Okay, yeah, sure. My dad was a circus clown!
I'm very sorry. Up next, we have Xander Chase. Welcome to the awkward stage, Xander.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, how are you?
And how are you?
Okay, well, finally we have Thomas Undermeyer. Hello, Thomas. Thomas?
Huh? Oh, sorry, I was busy screaming internally. What was the question?
That's wonderful. Just wonderful. And it is great to have you all here. Let's begin our first round on the awkward stage. Are you all ready?
Not really.
No.
Great. Okay. Heather, this first question is for you. The next door neighbor in your apartment building is having loud parties every evening, and you can't sleep. You go to confront them about it. What do you say? The clock starts now.
Okay, hi. I say, party loud, and, you have really big feet!
I'm sorry, Heather, that is time. You know, folks, we can't thank you enough for tuning into WAIP today. WAIP, it's now, it's on, it's content. Let's get back to our game. Next up, we have Xander.
I work in tech support from home.
Okay, great. We'll pass that part of the show, Xander. Thank you. Here is your question. You're sitting at home alone. No plans. You're not expecting anyone, and suddenly, there's a knock on your front door.
Oh, my.
What do you do, Xander? What do you do?
Did I mention I work from home?
What's your answer, Xander? What is your answer?
What do I do? What do I do? What do
Time
I do?
Time is almost up, Xander.
Pass! I pass. Please pass.
All right, Thomas. It passes to you. Same question. You're sitting at home, not expecting anyone. There's a knock at the door. What do you do?
I ignore it and hope it goes away.
Oh, I'm sorry, Thomas. That is actually incorrect. The correct answer is to look through the peephole, and if it's someone you recognize, open the door.
Okay.
But my apartment door doesn't have a peephole.
Oh, I'm sorry, Thomas. That is also incorrect. You do have a peephole. You've just never used it before. I'm afraid you're now in negative points. After the first round of questions, let's see where we stand. Heather and Xander are in the lead with 0 points. Thomas, You're trailing with negative 15. Time to get aggressive, Thomas, and make up some points.
Okay, sorry, I'm sorry.
Oh, Thomas, you've just apologized for no reason. You did nothing wrong, and yet you asked forgiveness. That's an additional 15 points in the hole for you. Bummer. Now, let's get to our next contestant. Heather, it's your turn again. Are you ready?
No, I'm never ready. Was that the question?
No. Heather, this is your question. You're at a party where you know only 25% of the people there. Do you, A, wander from room to room sipping from a drink, B, spend time going from bathroom to bathroom, or C, follow around someone you do know, hoping they don't get tired of you leeching onto them? Quickly, Heather.
B! Spend time going from bathroom to bathroom.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Heather. The correct answer is you would never be at a party unless you knew the majority of people there. And it was clearly stated you only knew 25%.
Oh, right.
Even I knew that one.
It's best to just avoid parties altogether.
Santa, you're next. Here is your question.
Was that the question?
Oh, I'm sorry, Xander. That is incorrect.
But I didn't hear the question.
There was no question, Xander. We were testing your ability to withstand silence.
Oh. Okay. It made me very uncomfortable.
We know. Okay. Thomas, are you ready to get back into it? Are you ready to show some aggression?
Hell yes.
Oh, I like that enthusiasm. Maybe Xander and Heather are about to go down. Here we go. Now listen carefully, Thomas. You're on a first date.
Ah, please, no, God, no. Please don't make me, please.
Pull yourself together, Thomas. Okay, well, let's look at our scores. Right now, Xander is leading with negative 18. Heather is in second place with negative 20, followed by Thomas, who is crippled by fear. And that brings us to our lightning round, where anything can happen. Contestants, be ready to buzz in.
Did you say anything can happen?
Can't we just declare the winner right
when
now?
Can we go home?
Listen carefully and be ready. Here we go. What is the best way? Yes, Xander?
I have a cat. His name is Doug.
That's
one time.
Great.
One time I saw a cat get eaten by a fox.
That's horrible. Why would you say that?
Cats die all the time for many reasons.
Stop saying that.
I can't help it.
Ah!
What? What is it?
I don't do well in environments where people are arguing.
It's her fault.
I didn't do anything.
Okay, let's move on to our next question.
You wish death upon
I
my
did
cat.
Not!
Sorry. I'm sorry.
That's another 15 points taken off, Thomas.
Okay, sorry.
Another 15!
Why would you talk about dead cats? That's
it was just
so
something I thought about when you mentioned your cat.
Ah!
Well. That's the end of our lightning round, and that's all the time we have for our game today. Maybe we'll finish a game once and actually declare a winner. Until next time, this is Ursula von Ursula saying thank you for listening to The Awkward Stage.
It's the age of Me Too, and women are hurting. So we here at Lady Tech Industries stepped into the workplace to see how we could help. After interviewing countless employees, we knew what we had to do.
It's just since men actually started being held responsible for the crimes they've committed.
Go on, it's all right.
I'm sorry. They're not coming around me anymore in the office.
These brave women brought light to a very disastrous effect of the current feminist movement. Men are actually avoiding women in the workplace in an attempt to not get Me Too'd themselves.
They're just not around to mansplain me anymore, and it's almost like a part of me is missing.
I was on the phone with a client the other day, and it was just eerie. No one corrected me while I presented my research or told me I wasn't holding the phone correctly. It was such a huge distraction from my work. I just want things to go back to normal.
These women are lost. They're confused, and they're missing their normal routines. Luckily, we've developed complete new technology to bring some peace of mind. Lady Tech presents Mansplain Ear. By placing the small device into your ear, Mansplain Ear is able to monitor while you're working and gives you advice and suggestions throughout the day, just as a real man would do. Helps you feel at peace. But let's see how it works.
As you can see from my PowerPoint presentation, I've made this chart with all the data from the research I've been working on for the past 10 years. I think
Sarah, I see you used a line graph, but I think a pie chart would better portray data over time.
Oh, God, that feels good. It's like, although I've poured 10 years of my life into this research, a guy who knows nothing about it whatsoever is gonna have some pretty good opinions. Without Mansplain Ear, I'd just feel lost.
I read an article about periods today. Most of the pain is just mental.
See? Now that's a fun fact. It's good to be back to normal. Thank you, Lady Tech.
Lady Tech Industries, a company for women, by women, staffed entirely by men.
It's time once again for our WAIP interview segment, and today we're talking with Optimus Theater's Susan Scott Fry. As the executive director for Optimus Theater, Susan rarely comes out from behind a spreadsheet. Before Excel, Word, and grant applications became a calling, she enjoyed 20 years of dramaturgy and acting in short Shakespeare, including both Titania and Helena in A Midsummer Night's Dream, Kate in The Taming of the Shrew, and lots of original children's theater. In 2008, she took a hiatus from the stage to come up with the idea for Shakespeare in the Park and get it on its feet. It debuted with The Tempest in 2010, starring Milwaukee theater legend Jim Pickering. Since then, Susan's been working diligently behind the scenes to catch up to the runaway train that is Shakespeare in the Park. She came out of the office in 2014's production of A Winter's Tale and 2015's A Midsummer Night's Dream. A native of California who didn't own a winter coat when she moved to the Midwest, Susan has also 25 years of festival and special programming producing experience, 30 years of outdoor theater experience, and is the owner of a ghost tour company. Free Shakespeare in the Park is her life's workout. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you, Anita.
Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
That's a lot on that old resume there.
Yeah, I don't have to say anything more. That's
no.
Good.
We're okay, all good well, now. Thank you once
it
again
was
for joining us
was
for
lovely.
Our WA. No, of course, Wait. We want to hear more about The Optimus. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of what you're doing?
Really? Oh, not a whole lot, actually, because I'm so in the moment.
Oh, okay.
And what we're doing right now is all that matters. It's like when we first had the idea to do Shakespeare in the Park, we really, really thought it was going to be us and some of our friends putting on some costumes and doing Shakespeare in a Park until the police rousted us and said we had to go home.
Like you do.
You know, that iambic pentameter gang.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, Jim Pickering wanted to be on board, and we're like, oh, really? Yeah, and I'd like a pony. But he wanted to do it. And
did he require a pony?
He did not require a pony, but okay. I felt like I had one in my throat the entire time.
I understand.
So we debuted in 2010 with The Tempest, which was, you know, Shakespeare's last play, and it was awesome. Angela Iannone was in it, and right. I had no idea what to expect. And I seriously have been trying to catch up ever since then. And now we're going into our 10th season. It's kind
wow,
of amazing.
Congratulations
yeah,
on your 10th
you.
Season. That's
thank
a huge
much.
Accomplishment.
Thank you very much.
10 years of shows. Have you, in fact, had a call for a pony?
No. No ponies. We have had calls for some special effects that, unfortunately, because of the unions that we're working with, we are not allowed to set anybody on fire. I checked that. I had to check, but other than that, no live animals.
Oh, I once worked with a very pregnant goat.
Oh, wow, Anita, that's lovely. Do you need some water? Are you okay?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I'm shaking a little bit. Sorry,
right.
It's
that's
just,
okay.
We're about to go into our fun drive here for the station, and I just found out that the stakes are a little high
yes.
for the station.
Yes.
So I was just wondering if you did have a pony and you didn't need it, we could certainly auction it off at a series of or a pregnant goat or a baby goat,
right?
A kid,
right.
A real kid, a goat kid, whatever.
Anita,
Anita, we would
sell it for Anita, the station. Is what
Anita,
I'm trying
where,
to.
Where's yep. craft services? Crafts. There's water. Bottles of water. I'm gonna get you one.
I'm gonna get you
a bottle of water. Okay. And then we're gonna come talk about fundraising because frankly, it is my life.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
That is my art.
Why don't you? Hey.
Uh huh.
I'm just gonna drink some of this flop sweat. Just one.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm okay now. Thank you.
You are so adorable. I can hardly stand it.
You're so cute.
I love you. Let's go raise some money.
I just needed to hear that. Yeah. Tell me, how do you raise the money for the things that
you do? We write a lot of grant applications because Shakespeare in the Park, it is free. So when we decided to do this thing, this great, big, amazing, wonderful thing, I did all kinds of research, and the best Shakespeare in the Park companies in the United States are free. And so that means that we're completely publicly funded. People will reach in their pockets and give us their $5 or their $10 or their, you know, $5,000. And
people have that just like in their pockets?
Yeah, I know. It's amazing.
Are they
riding any
sort of public transportation where they might be sitting down and getting up a lot and things might be likely to fall out of their pockets?
But I've heard about the hop. And you know, it actually comes to Shakespeare in the Park. Yeah, we're the only arts destination on the hop.
Worth it! Worth it!
Right, I know.
Well, if that's not a branding opportunity, I don't know what one is. I did not have to pay for that.
I did not.
Oh my gosh.
No.
You should get actors that go onto it sometimes, call it Shakespeare on the Hop, and they just like do. They just do like only, well, it only goes three blocks, so the really short monologue.
That is really an abridged version of anything that we're going to do.
And then are always chased out by a bear.
Right.
Every time.
I have the bear outfit.
I know you do. Yeah. I know you do. Sorry. We got off track.
Where were we? We were talking about Shakespeare.
We were. Susan, weren't you scared? Shakespeare?
No. I absolutely love Shakespeare. I think it's amazing. When I was about 8 years old, my mother brought home a copy of the Scottish play, and I'll say it, it's called Macbeth, because I am so not superstitious.
Sure.
And now everybody is turning off. Everybody's like leaving the theater. Why are you?
No, sorry.
What?
Well,
no.
Because
no,
if you
thunder,
say
lightning.
It,
oh, never mind.
If you say it three times, a Scotsman appears, right?
That's
what happens.
Right? Oh, baby.
I've been shouting it till I've been hoarse, and
yes!
All I could get is a guy from South Milwaukee. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Right.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not even a little. No, no.
No. Or especially Caledonia, which, if you know, means New Scotland. That's actually because of the Scottish settlers
there.
I will never
remember that.
No, it's okay. This is 15 seconds. None of us are getting back.
It doesn't matter.
You were saying.
So when my mother gave me a copy, I was about 8 years old. She gave
me
a copy of Macbeth.
That's quite a one to start with at eight.
Mom was
She
funky.
Saw something there.
She was funky. You know, she's like, okay, I'm a single mother. I better push her. And so she gave this to me and said, you know, I got this for you, but you probably won't be able to read it for another 10 years.
So
the gauntlet is down.
Wait, you got served by your mom.
I totally got served by my
mother.
Like,
she brought it, set it down, and opened it.
She did.
Like, here it goes.
She did.
This,
it just wiggled. It was great.
Yeah.
And so I read it, didn't understand a damn thing, but I knew I loved it. And so I got addicted to Shakespeare very, very young, and was inducted into this amazing fraternity of people who get it. You know, Shakespeare is mysterious. People are scared of it. Like, it's terrifying. Oh, my God, I don't understand what's going on.
Well, it has witches in it.
Oh, yeah. So there's this scary club, you know, of people that are like, oh my God, I can't, but please don't look at me because I don't want you to think that I don't know what's going on stage. So don't look at me and look at me engaged. I get that. But once you understand it, once you make that leap and you go see a show, they're free, by the way. Are they free?
Are they free?
They are free to see.
How much is free?
They're not free to produce. Free is zero.
Free is zero.
Free is zero. Oh, let me give you some.
But like
numbers.
You have to bring a canned good or anything like that, or
you don't.
Is it two drink minimum? Because I've been to the rave.
Yeah.
Craft services.
Sorry.
So,
feel more swap.
There is. There's like this rarefied club, and when you one of the things that's really super important to us with Shakespeare in the Park is that when you walk out, you got it. You know what's going on. You may not understand every word, but you picked up on the rhythms. You saw the how we cleverly color code our costumes, so you know who's hanging out with who. So, I know. Shh, don't tell.
That's amazing.
It's subtle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
But yeah, no, that's great. I'd love to know who is my friend and who isn't just by what color they're wearing.
Right.
But it doesn't.
Yeah.
Doesn't.
Yeah. Anita,
doesn't really work
good.
Out.
You're fine.
The waffle guy only wears black. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I have no idea.
You can really see the syrup stains.
There's not a waffle guy in Shakespeare.
There's not a waffle guy? Oh,
no.
We've got one.
Oh.
For a job that involves so much powdered sugar, black is a bad choice of clothing.
Good thing this is radio.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. Sorry, it is radio. I just need some more water.
You're right. Okay, so.
Keep
some,
going. I'm
going
to drink
this
water.
Fantastic numbers while you go away. Between 65 and 80% of our audience any given night come from zip codes where the average demographic is less than 200% of the poverty level. So we reach out. It is about getting people from everywhere in Milwaukee to come together and have this integrated and shared experience. And so it's got to be a great experience. I get out of the way of that. As the executive director, I try to make the thing happen and to pull together the best, the smartest, the most talented artists out there, Milwaukee area artists. We hire locally. And we hire all our vendors locally and do all of that, and we want to support our local economy. But then I get out of their way so that they can go and make this amazing thing. I trust that that's going to happen. And so I will bring everybody together that I can possibly bring together to have this experience. So, you know, and then the other 20% or so are paying for what everybody else is seeing. Over the first 9 years, about 22,000 people so far have gone to Shakespeare in the Park.
Congratulations.
Thank
That's amazing.
Much. Thank you.
Well, Susan, it's clear that you really provide a great service for the city with your free Shakespeare in the Park. We thank you so much. If I had a pony or a Scotsman, I would give it to you. It might be slightly used.
You're looking flush there, Anita.
Something in this water. Your next show is, of course, The Comedy of Errors. It begins on June 26th in the Peck Pavilion. If anyone out there in the community would like to contribute to Shakespeare in the Park, you can certainly do so through donations. But a bigger help is just to invite people in their own communities to come out and check out free Shakespeare in the Park with Optimist Theater. Thank you so much, Susan.
Thank you, Anita.
You're a bad, bad dog, dog. You're a bad, bad dog. Get yourself together, dog. Your bark is worse than your growl. We don't need a hero, dog. We just need you on the prowl. Please don't cry foul. You're a bad, bad dog, dog. You're a bad, bad dog. You don't run, you don't hide. You got attitude, your morals are skewed. But you're okay in my eyes. You're a dog investigator. You're a hound, not a gator. You can find anything and anyone. You can sing and you can have fun like this. Ow! Like this. Ow! You're a bad, bad dog, dog. You're a bad, bad dog.
Hi, baby.
Hi. What's your name?
What do you want my name to be?
Jane.
Okay, I'm Jane. Let's just relax and get comfortable now. I'm gonna leave the lights on low, all right, handsome?
Sure, okay.
I'm sorry your regular's not here, but I'll take good care of you, fix you right up. I hear you got a little tension problem.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can unscrew those tight places for you. So to speak. Now just relax and let me take over. Oh my, you're a substantial boy, aren't you? What's your name?
Rex.
Okay, Rex. Let's see if this helps with that tension problem you have. You like that?
Yeah. Rats rude. That's really rude.
What? Rats rude? Dog? Oh, dog. Shit. Holy
what?
Shit.
What is it? Don't stop.
I can't. Fuck. Shit.
What? What the fuck is...
Hold on. Oh, shit. My glasses. Where the fuck are my glasses?
Glasses? What? V? Is that...
Hi, dog.
V? Oh, fuck. Fuck me.
Yeah.
I didn't know you... You gotta believe
me. It's fine. Yeah, oh, fuck. I'm so embarrassed. I
thought you left the city years ago. After things went south with the group, I heard you split to the coast. Wanted to be an actress was the rumor.
I did. And, yeah, I did. Didn't work out. I came back.
Oh, It's a good to see you.
Yeah, you too.
I guess I'll go.
Yeah, okay. Dog, I hope that... I mean, I need to ask you
V,
if...
V, this is not exactly something I go and brag about.
Right, okay. You still a private eye?
Still got the office. Yeah, me and Shannon.
Oh, Shannon, that's good. I'm glad you two are still...
V, I don't really want to pry, but...
How did I turn from super intellectual into shameless whore?
Well, I wasn't going to put it that way, but...
Well, life throws you a lot of curves, dog. One day you're working on multi-$1,000 research grants, the next you get screaming mouths to feed.
You got kids?
5. Sometimes I even get to see them. It's the only thing I can do now to support them.
Where's the father?
For which kid? It's pretty fucked up, am I right?
What?
Me. I'm a prostitute with the initials VD.
The world's fucked up, V. And there's no unfucking it. All we can do is try to ride it out. I'll see you, V.
Yeah. See you around.
Wow. You are truly the nasty, naughty type now, aren't you?
You fucked up scumbag vomit pile.
Why, thank you.
You didn't tell me it was dog, Rick.
So what?
You asshole. You are the pit stain of the world.
And you've come a long way from your knee socks and turtleneck days. My, how things change.
Shut the fuck up.
Some detective he is. I was right here in the room and he didn't even know it.
I did what you wanted, Rick, and now I'm done. You let my son go.
Oh, no. We're not done yet, V. Not even close.
You promised.
If I did everything I ever promised, I'd probably be dead. We're not done until Dog and his reputation are trashed. And Shannon, too. They're both gonna pay for what they did.
You're a monster.
Our monster days are long over, V. This is real. No masks. No chasing old men in costumes. Real. It's kind of refreshing, actually.
Whatever. Just... get your fucking ass out of here.
You're the one with the fucking ass. How about you show me?
I said get out.
You want your son back safe? You'll do as I say. Come on. Tell me you never thought about it.
Oh, fine. Let's just get this over with.
You're a good girl, V. You're a good mother.
He's a dog investigator. He's a hound, not a gator. He can find anything and anyone. He can sing and he can have fun like this. Ow! You're a bad, bad dog, dog. He's a bad, bad dog.
So, Bailey, these are our two interns who made it into work today, Tommy and Oliver.
Hello.
What's up?
Hello, the only two who made it to work today?
Yes, we have another intern, Amanda. We haven't seen her in a while, though.
That's odd.
I guess. Stuff like this seems to happen from time to time.
I see.
He's right. Tommy and I have only been here for a few weeks, and we've already lost about 5 people who work here.
Lost them?
Yeah, like they were here for a minute, but now they're not, you know?
No, I'm not sure that I do. Miss Henderson is not going to like this.
Well, she never needs to know, does she?
Oh no, I couldn't hide something like that.
Seriously, because that, like, is the least of the shit that goes on here.
What?
No, it's fine. Everything is totally fine here, right?
Yes.
So that's what you can tell Kathleen the next time she checks in.
No, I couldn't do that. I would be lying. I'm a terrible liar.
You'll be okay.
No, I won't. I'm the worst liar. I'm going to have to tell her what's going on.
Don't do that. If you can't lie, just don't tell her anything.
I'd be far too anxious. I'm sorry, Mr. DeWitt. I don't think this is going to work.
What if someone helped you?
What?
Like, with the lying. What if someone helped you lie?
That could work. Maybe. I don't know.
Nah, you'll be cool. Lying is super easy. I do it all the time. Let me show you. Hey, Christopher. Oliver and I finished all that prep work you told us to do. See? Easy.
Okay, you two need to go do that now.
Okay.
Fine. Whatever.
I will help you learn to lie.
I don't think that's going to work.
And why not? I'm a pretty good liar.
You might be the only person in this building radiating more anxiety than I am right now.
Why does that affect anything?
Because it makes me feel like something is wrong, and when something is wrong, I need to fix it or tell someone.
Don't tell anyone. I will teach you lying.
I don't believe you. See? You aren't a good liar.
I'm a great liar! Besides, if I'm not going to teach you, who the hell is?
I will.
Jennifer?
Hello, Christopher. I can help her lie to her boss.
Her? I believe.
Why?
Maybe because I brought the average blood pressure in the room under 180?
All right, that's a fair point. But Jennifer, why are you here? Shouldn't you be at NPR?
No. I left my internship there. I would like to come back, Christopher.
Well, then welcome back. We've got a lot to catch you up on.
Probably not.
What do you mean?
Bailey, right?
Yes.
Bailey, can you give me a one-sentence summary of the current crisis facing the station?
Let's see. Everything needs to be better or it's going to be shut down.
See, Christopher? Nothing unusual. WAIP is just the same as I left it.
This episode of WAIP was recorded live at Tandem Theater's 10th Street Theater Space in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. WAIP was written by Adam Kudishan and Matthew Conkle. WAIP cast includes Beth Lewinsky as Anita Dwyer, Chris Good as Christopher DeWitt, Anna Gonzalez as Jennifer Garcia Stein, Jared Lingwinski as Oliver Sanderson Barnes, Dennis Lewis as Tommy Stroud, David Shapiro as Craig Vance, Haley Sanfilippo as Bailey, Liz Norton as Kathleen Henderson, Daniel Brin as Ursula von Ursula, Amy Majeski as Heather, Sherrick Robinson as Xander, and Ryan Charles as Thomas. We'd once again like to thank our guests from Optimist Theater, Susan Scott Fry. Be sure to check out the Comedy of Errors, June 27th through July 13th at the Peck Pavilion. Tickets are free. You can learn more about Optimist Theater at optimisttheater.org. The interview portions of WAIP are written by Beth Lewinsky. Music for WAIP is by Adam Kudishat and Cole Heinrich. The Worsener, Episode 6, was written by Matthew Conkle. Cast includes Zach Shirak as the Worsener, Marcus Beyer as the narrator, Hannah Esch as Rosemary, Ben Yella as Abe Lincoln, and Daniel Brin as Vanquish. Sound effects are by Derek Buckles. Music for The Worsener is by Adam Kudishat. Dog Investigator Episode 5 was written by Matthew Conkle. Cast includes Raven Dockery as Nadia, Jim Donaldson as Dog, Madeline Wakely as V, and Gage Patterson as Rick. Sound effects are by Derek Buckles. Music for Dog Investigator is by Adam Kudishat. One Star Trek was written by Matthew Conkle. Cast includes Ray Perry as Captain Deferred, Jared Lingwinski as First Officer Plebeian, Amy Majeski is Helmsman Bankrupt, Dennis Lewis is Commander Kelly, Anna Gonzalez is Nana the Sarcastian, Brant Allen is Ted Gleason, Cary Grey is Nancy Gleason, Grace Scott is Ashley Gleason, and Casey Westfall is Ted Gleason Jr. Sound effects are by Derek Buckles. Music for One Star Trek is by Adam Kudishat. Commercial for The Hop was written by Casey Van Dam. Cast includes Marcus Beyer as the announcer and Amy Majeski, Haley Sanfilippo, and Ben Yella as citizens. Music for The Hop is by Adam Kudishat. Commercials for Lady Tech were written by Andrea Watkins. Cast includes Liz Norton as the announcer, Hannah Esch as Marlene, Megan McGee as Sarah, and Brant Allen as the mansplainer. Music for Lady Tech is by Adam Kudishat. Please subscribe to WAIP on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere else you can. Feel free to leave a review on iTunes. If you want to check out WAIP Live, our next recording is scheduled for March 24th at 7 p.m. at Tandem Theater's 10th Street Theater. All In is in the process of fundraising for this podcast and our upcoming season. We would love your support to keep projects like WAIP funded. To donate, check out gofundme.com/AIP-season4. WAIP is written and directed by Adam Kudishat. Assistant director is Madeline Wakely. WAIP stage manager is Allison Kasparovich. Assistant stage manager is Nicole Alley. WAIP is executive produced by Alex Schrell and All In Productions. Hey, that's me. All In Productions is a local, nonprofit Milwaukee theater company dedicated to using local talent and challenging and creative performances of plays and musicals. All In is in its fourth season of shows and is committed to paying its performers and creative talent. All In's next show, the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, has been officially announced. It runs May 16th through the 25th at the Next Act Theater's Performance Space in Milwaukee. It will be directed by Mitch Weindorf with music direction by Paula Foley-Tillen. The cast and crew includes WAIP regulars and guests, including Robbie McGee, Gage Patterson, Stephanie Stasek, Adam Kudishat, Derek Buckles, Ernest Bell, and Ava Bush. You can follow All In Productions on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for more information. Audio production of WAIP is by Adam Kudishat, Derek Buckles, JJ Gatesman, and Sarah Berger. Live audio engineering and sound effects are by Derek Buckles. Check out more of Derek's work at dbucklesdesign.com. WAIP's graphic designer is Cassie Pearson. Publicity photos are by Sarah Bill Photography. Equipment for WAIP is provided by Q Music, LLC.